taken the leadership of Children's Church Ministry and are developing that, and many of you have gotten involved. We appreciate that so much as we minister to our children. We love them. We're going to be reading from John chapter 17, beginning at verse 11, and we'll read the passage. We've read it several times. We're going to shorten it just a touch, beginning at verse 11, and we'll read in unison together. The scripture will be on the screen, but if you want to read from your Bible, please feel free. Let's begin in unison together. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17 if you have not already. And as well, on the insert on the backside is a outline that will follow with the PowerPoint presentation if you find that helpful. We're continuing our series that we started several weeks ago in John chapter 17. And we've turned one sermon into four now. But I'm trying to be sensitive and not go too long on the sermons. And at the same time, try to cover the truth of the Word, the points that the Lord has to make and say to us. And so we continue on in this series. Thank you for many of you who have been praying for and have asked about my father, Ken Leonard. I've shared with most of you that have asked that nothing has changed. He continues to struggle with the heart issues, and the doctors are not able to pinpoint what the issue is. And so I appreciate your continued prayers that the doctors will be able to pinpoint. And they need Holy Spirit insight. They need insight beyond themselves because obviously this is a difficult issue. So thank you for your continued prayers. As we pray in a moment, I also want to lift up Jack Stowe, as he's been having some heart issues the last few days as well. Would you pray with me? Father, we come now to your word, and we thank you so much, Lord, for communicating to us, that we don't have to wonder, we don't have to guess, but you have revealed your truth to us through your Son. We thank you for this beautiful prayer, this prayer that Jesus prayed for us some 2,000 years ago. As we look at this prayer this morning, Lord, speak to our hearts and touch us. Give us ears to hear and the challenge that Jesus prayed for us, that we will embrace you and your word, Lord, with obedience. We take this moment to lift up our dear brother Jack Stowe. We ask for your continued hand of healing to be upon him, Lord. You will uphold him and keep him. And we thank you for him. We lift up my father, Ken Leonard, and ask, Father, for Holy Spirit insight for the doctors to be able to find what is the situation, what is the problem. Continue to strengthen them. And I thank you for this, Lord. We come now to your word. Hide me in the shadow of your cross, Lord Jesus, that only you would be seen. In his name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at Jesus' prayer over these past couple of weeks, and we saw in this passage, John chapter 17, in these verses 9 through 19, we see how Jesus has been praying and been praying for us. In this section here and the focus that we've had in these verses, Jesus has been praying for our protection against the evil one, so that we may be one as he and the Father are one, and that we might be one with each other. I need to tell you that the enemy has been busy over the past couple, 3 weeks. It's very interesting as we have moved into this section of Scripture where Jesus has prayed specifically for our protection against the evil one, that our oneness would not be affected, would not be alienated. Our oneness with him and oneness with each other would not be affected. There has come from the enemy many attacks over the past several weeks. And I would ask that you would please pray for us as the church leadership as we try to seek godly wisdom and unity together in addressing the situations. And there are a number. The enemy has been busy. And I think it is telling the fact that Jesus has prayed this for us, and then the enemy, of course, attacks. And so we saw this as we looked through it. We saw that Jesus prays that we would be protected against the evil one and his attacks. We saw then that Jesus prays that we will not be of this world. In verses 14 through 16, he prays that while we were in this world, we will not be of it. In other words, we will not follow this world's system of values and behaviors. And then last week we looked at the fact that Jesus desires and prays that we would be one. That we would be one, continue in our oneness as he and the Father are one. That oneness that he has given to us, he wants us to remain in it. He wants us to continue in it. And we saw how when we allow things like anger and bitterness and offense to come in between our relationship with each other and with the Lord, how it destroys our oneness, how it gives the enemy a foothold, not only in our lives individually, but it also gives him a foothold in our church body. And that's his desire. He wants to get a foothold, and then from there he wants to get a handhold, and he wants to continue to try to, in a secret way, sneak in and begin to cause issue and cause problems and frustration. And we must be aware of it. And the scripture we saw last week calls us these things that will often cause issue and allow him to come in and wreak havoc. We're called in the scripture to put those things away, not allow them. So then we move this week into point number 4. And this next point, as we look at it, point number 4, I need to tell you that this point that Jesus prays for us, that we will be sanctified by the truth of the Word, I'm telling you, this is the principle, this is the remedy that will keep us out of these issues, that will keep the enemy away from us, because you see, our flesh and the indulging of our flesh, and when we give in to our flesh, that is the point of contact with the enemy. You understand that? Just like our spirit, now energized, made alive by the Holy Spirit, is our point of connection with God through the Holy Spirit, so our flesh is the point of connection with the evil one. And when we give in to it, when we give ground, then the enemy gets that stronghold, that foothold, that toehold. And that's where he wreaks havoc. And so each one of us have a responsibility. And if we will follow this principle overall of sanctifying ourselves, that is the remedy to all these other issues. And so Jesus prays that we'll be sanctified by the truth of the Word. We read in verse 17 of this chapter, he prays for us. Speaking to the Father, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then in verse 19, he says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. just as He was one with the Father and therefore prayed for us to be one with the Father and one with each other. So now, just as He was sanctified and He sanctifies Himself, so He prays that we will be sanctified. You see the pattern. Just as He is one with the Father, He prays that we will be one with the Father and with each other. And just as He is sanctified, set apart, He prays that we will be sanctified and set apart by the truth of the Word. Well, what does this mean? That's a big fancy word, sanctified. What does it mean? Well, it means this. It means that we are set apart to God. We are set apart from sin. We are set apart from the world. And we are set apart to God. And there's some different aspects of sanctification that we'll talk about this morning. There is what we would call initial sanctification, and then there is ongoing sanctification. The word also means that I'm being made holy, and I'm set apart for holy living. Let's talk about this process. To be set apart is a concept that we deal with almost every day in our lives. Let me give an example. Each of us has a budget for our groceries, or we should have one, and we set aside a certain amount of money to buy groceries each week. We might set aside, okay, this week we need to set aside $100 for groceries that we can buy out of the money that we earn and that the Lord allows us to have. So we set it apart for that purpose. If one of us in the family says, oh, I'd like to get a pizza, and I come over to that $100 that's set apart for the groceries, and I take $20 out of that grocery money because I would like to have a pizza, and I order pizza, and then I pay the man with it, I've now used the money that has been set apart for groceries for something that it was not intended for. And I will probably get a whipping. I love pizza, and it's a temptation. But that money has been set apart for a specific purpose and a specific use. So it is with us. There is an initial sanctification. When we come to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in and makes us new and makes us alive, He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us and gives us new life, He also sets us apart from the world, from sin, and sets us apart to God's use. That's what we're set apart to. Just like that grocery money. It's set apart for a specific purpose. So our specific purpose is that we're set apart to live for and follow Christ and glorify and honor God. That's what we're set apart to. So there is that aspect that God sets us apart by His Spirit. But there is an ongoing sanctification. He continually sanctifies us. He continually sets us apart for holy living. That is a process. And it is a process that we must cooperate with. That's why the Scripture gives us instruction for holy living. That's why the Scripture gives us instruction about the way that we are to live our lives, the attitudes that we should have, the actions, the behavior, the interactions with one another, and my interaction and my relationship with God. That's why the Scripture gives us that. You see, there's a lot of Christians that somehow think that they become a Christian and boom, everything is just fantastic. I have no more issues. I have no more problems. I don't have to do anything. And in that sense of God accepting us, yeah, because we're saved by the grace of God. But if we want to change, if we want to see transformation in our life, then we have to cooperate with the grace of God operating in our life. Now, this isn't just my theory. This comes from the Scripture. It's like a marriage. When a man and a woman come together and are considering marriage, one of the things that they will do when they get married is they will take a vow. And they will set themselves apart for each other. Right? That's what the marriage covenant is. Forsaking all others, I commit myself only unto you. And so you make this commitment or this vow of I will be set apart for you and you only. Well, most of us who are married know that the fact that you make that commitment and you come together and you are married does not mean that automatically there are no more problems And there are no more issues. In fact, most of us know who have been married for any length of time know that that is really the start of the issues. One preacher said that if love is blind, marriage is an eye-opener. You know, with marriage you put your best face forward and you do everything and anything for the one that you love. You know? And what happens over time is you get married and you begin to take each other for granted and you don't do the things that you did when you were pursuing your wife or when you were pursuing your husband. You don't do those things anymore because it's like, hey, we're good. It's like the one husband whose wife was complaining to him. She said, you don't tell me that you love me anymore. And he said, didn't I tell you that I loved you when we got married? She said, yes. He said, well, if anything changes, I'll let you know. That doesn't work very well. That doesn't work well at all. We need to continually set ourselves apart to each other. And then when we begin to bump up against issues in that marriage, we realize, ooh, I need to change. Most of the time, we try to change the other person instead of trying to change ourselves, and that's when trouble begins. Well, this is not a sermon on marriage, but marriage is a very clear picture of our relationship with Christ and our relationship with one another in the body. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses the analogy of marriage to reflect our relationship with Christ. He says, he actually calls us the church Christ's bride. We are married to Christ. We are His. And so just like in the marriage, when you say, I do at the beginning and you set apart to each other, you have to keep on saying, I do. You have to keep on saying, I am set apart for my one and only. And that's how a marriage works and is prosperous and is a beautiful thing. And that's how we see those areas that need to change. And if we will not change, if we resist change, there will be issues in the marriage. There will be issues. So it is in our relationship with Christ. When we come to Him and we say, I do. In other words, we submit our life to Him. We set ourselves apart to Him, and He sets us apart for Him and His holy living. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning. And then every day thereafter, I have to set myself apart to Him. I don't do this by my own strength, but rather, the strength of the Holy Spirit within me, I set myself apart to Him, and I cooperate. In other words, God will show me things that need to change. And you know, most of the time, if you're like me, God shows us things that we need to change, and we're like, I'm not changing. We get our back up, right? You know, we read about the Israelites and how stubborn they were. And actually God says to them, you are a stiff-necked, stubborn people. And we read the Bible and we say, yeah, yes they are. Aren't they stiff-necked, stubborn people? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, yeah, and so are you. We are. We are stiff-necked, stubborn people. We don't want anybody to tell us what's wrong in our life. We don't want anything pointed out. And when they do, we get our back up. We get our back up with the Lord. We do. You know, and a lot of times we hide in that flowery spiritual language. Well, Lord, I just don't know what to do, Lord. I'm just kind of lost out here, Lord. And you're not lost. You know exactly what you need to do. You just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to submit myself. I don't want to be set apart. Well, here's a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Dwayne Nelson is going to read that scripture for us.
Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen. Could you take that back to verse 1, James? Therefore, in view of God's mercies, brothers and sisters, offer yourselves, offer your bodies, offer your life as a living sacrifice. Now, if I read that and understand that correctly, that is a call to action. That is a call of surrender to me. Is it not? God is not saying there to us, Tom, I will surrender you. I will cause you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. I will cause you to offer your body. No, He's not saying that. He is saying to you and to me, offer yourself, offer your bodies, offer your life, everything about you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your reasonable. This is your spiritual worship. This is both in our attitude and in our actions. Both in the way that we speak, the way that we talk, live, interact, drive, work, everything that is encompassed, that is involved in our life, God is calling us, including, by the way, including our body, God calls us to offer it as a living sacrifice. Why a living sacrifice? Well, we know when you talk about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were animals that were killed. Well, guess what? God's not going to require that you kill yourself and make yourself a dead offering. No, He wants a living offering. But there's a problem with a living offering. Just like an animal. An animal doesn't want to be killed, right? And an animal, if it senses that it's about to be killed, it's going to fight. It's going to struggle. I mean, that's just an animal instinct. How much more with us? God's calling us to give a living sacrifice. And we struggle. We struggle with it. We don't want, in our flesh, we don't want to give ourselves. We don't want to give our body. We don't want to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. We want to do, in our flesh, let's just be honest, we want to do what we want to do. Are you all out there with me? Or am I only alone in this? I mean, we are stubborn. By nature, we are stubborn, and we want to do what we want to do. And so God calls us. Sanctifying ourselves means that we cooperate with God, and just as He has set us apart, we set ourselves apart. We submit ourselves, surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice. This includes our body. This is a big issue today in the church about our bodies in many different ways. But we have to understand and remember that God tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, Paul has some things to say about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. It's interesting. It was brought up in a Sunday school class this morning. Let me read this for you. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The Scripture says that we've been bought with a price. And what is that price? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid a price so that we could be free from sin. We could be owned, so to speak, by Him. And so, therefore, He has paid that price for us. He says, you are not your own. If we give ourselves to Christ, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to who? To Him. Someone shared this morning that when you become a Christian, listen, you still with me? Say amen. When we become Christians, we give up our rights. We give up our rights. And we are no longer our own, but we are slaves to Christ. We are owned by Him. And therefore, He calls us to honor God even with our bodies. And so every one of us has to ask that question, God, am I honoring you with my body? In every way. He calls us to offer ourselves, offer our bodies, offer our life, everything that I'm going to do, my work, my play, my recreation, my relationships, offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. Now, thank the Lord that this is a process. You know, I've said this before, it's sort of like Shrek. The process is like onion. an onion. You know, God deals with us. He deals with one layer. And you know, sometimes we get real encouraged, like, God, I'm making progress in this. Oh, it feels so good. God, you're finally getting through to me, and I'm finally able to deal with this and to lay this down, this issue or element in my life. And we think, oh, I've made it. And all of a sudden, God peels away that layer, and guess what's under there? Another layer. We're like an onion. And God deals with us mercifully, gently, lovingly, and He wants to peel away the layers in our lives. Jesus sanctified Himself. That was the last verse that we read, right, in John 17. He says, I sanctify myself that they too may be sanctified. What does that mean? What did Jesus sanctify Himself for? He sanctified Himself. He set Himself apart to follow God's will. You remember in the garden the struggle that He had? He said, Father, if it is possible, take away this cup from me. He was talking about the cup of suffering. If it's possible, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will be done, not my will. He set Himself apart to do the Father's will, to obey Him even unto death and suffering. And then He calls us to have that same kind of commitment and surrender in our lives. Are we sanctified? In other words, have we agreed with God, cooperated with God? We have set ourselves apart, Lord, to You and for holy living and to follow You in everything and every aspect of my life. Have we set ourselves apart for that? There's many old terms that are used in the Scripture and used in the olden days. Sometimes it was called entire surrender, complete dedication, consecration, a complete surrender. Many different ways that you could speak of it. The bottom line is that I lay myself before the Lord as a living sacrifice. And I sanctify myself as He has sanctified me. And so, as we hear Jesus praying for us that we would be sanctified, we know, as He prayed against the evil one for us, there is the work of the evil one that will keep us. He will try to keep us from setting ourselves apart. Oh, Lord, look at that person. They're not living the way they should be living, so I don't have to. Oh, can you believe that person? Look how they failed. Look at they're a hypocrite. I don't know about all this Jesus stuff. I'm just going to live my own life. And see, the enemy will take things and he will try to use it as a stumbling block for you and for me so that we don't want to commit our lives fully to Christ. Listen, people are always going to fail you. The church, which is made up of people, will fail. There will be failures. Jesus is the only one who will not fail, who led a perfect life, who followed the Lord and perfectly obeyed Him. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 12 it says, fix your eyes on who? Pastor Tom? No. The elders? No. The leaders in the church? No. Fix your eyes on who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author. He starts our faith. He starts our walk. And He's the perfecter. He's the sanctifier. He's the one that brings us along, that draws us along in our walk. We fix our eyes not on people, but on Jesus. And this happens by the truth of the Word. As He prays to the Father, in verse 17, He says, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. You see, as we embrace the Word and we obey it, we become more and more sanctified. In other words, the Word points out to us those areas that need to change. Boy, you ever read a passage of Scripture and all of a sudden, man, I'm feeling really convicted here. I mean, the Scripture is pointing something out to me here that I'm doing or not doing, and all of a sudden I become very convicted. Now I have a choice at that moment. I can either say, oh, that was nice, and walk away. Or I can say, Lord, I sense You speaking to me that You're wanting to deal with this area in my life, an attitude or an issue. You're trying to speak to me, Lord. And so, Lord, I want to listen, I want to hear, and I want to obey. Folks, I know it's not easy. I know that our flesh fights against us. I know we have an enemy. And that's why Jesus prayed for us, that we would be strengthened, we would be protected from the evil one. But I need to tell you, this is why many Christians do not grow. Many Christians will get to a point where things become hard, where God begins to point out in His Word to them an issue, and they don't want to deal with it. And so they stop right there. They don't grow anymore. And because they're feeling convicted by the Lord, sometimes they isolate themselves. They fall away. They draw back. And that's the time when we as brothers and sisters need to encourage and challenge and come alongside and say, listen, we're all fighting this battle together. We're all walking this walk together. We're not perfect, but let's follow Jesus. Amen? Let's follow Jesus. Let's not follow the world. Let's not follow anybody else. Let's not follow some artist or some celebrity. Let's follow Jesus. Folks, can we do that? Can we commit in our hearts to follow Him? Because that's what He calls us to. We're not following a program. We're not following, you know, this church's doctrine. That's not what it's about. We're following Jesus. And we as a leadership, we know that we reflect Jesus imperfectly. We are but men and women just like you. And we know at times that we fail and we make mistakes. But you need to know that we're seeking to follow Jesus, as imperfect as we are. So let's follow Jesus. Jesus sanctified Himself so that we will be sanctified, set apart. We're sanctified by the Word when we embrace it and obey it. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Here's what James says about the impact and the sanctifying effect of the Word. Here's what he says. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And isn't that exactly what the disciples around Jesus did? He says to them earlier, He says, I gave them your word, and they have obeyed it. I gave them your word, and they have obeyed it. Jesus has given us His word. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we obeying Him? And whatever the Lord has given to us, wherever we're at in our growth, are we obeying Him? Are we submitting ourselves to Him and surrendering our life to Him? James says, don't just listen to the Word and deceive ourselves. Do it. Do what it says. Obey it. Embrace it. Now, I know it's not an easy process. Sometimes our flesh just fights us so hard. And we don't want it. We don't want to surrender. There is a built-in default mode. You know, just like sometimes your computer has a built-in default mode, and sometimes it does things that are really aggravating. When the hard drive on my laptop crashed a few weeks back, thankfully we were able to, with the help of Jim and Matt Dawson, we were able to extract all the information, all the files and everything off of the hard drive, even though we couldn't even boot it up. It was amazing. Matt had this disk that had a tool on it that you could extract the files off of it, even though you couldn't boot up the hard drive. It was amazing. And then Jim helped me to, he had another hard drive, and we put that new hard drive into the laptop. And we had to reprogram all the programs in it. We had to put all the files back in it. But there's something my computer does now as a default mode that is really aggravating. Whenever I'm trying to get a file, instead of going to the file itself, when you hit the document file, instead of going to it, it goes to another document file. And I'm sure I'm the one that screwed it up. And Jim's going to have to help me fix it. But there's that default thing that it does, and it's really aggravating. And you have to go around it to get it to work right. And so it is with us. There is this default mode that we don't want to submit. And you see, left to ourselves, left to just our own strength, we don't want to submit. We don't want to do it. And that's why the Scripture calls us in sanctifying ourselves when Paul says, surrender yourself, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Folks, that's something we have to do every day. Every day, I have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I am not my own. I am yours. You've bought me with a price. And I need to surrender my life to you. Fill me with your Spirit so I can have the power to follow you. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, so I will be able to follow you. That's what has to happen in my life every day. One of the prayers that I pray almost every day is that, Lord, I can't live this life that you've called me to in my own strength. Lord, I can't follow and live this calling that you've put on my life without your strength. Lord, I need to die to myself today. I need to surrender my life and I need your power to fill me so that I can live. Lord, fill me with your strength. That's what the Lord is calling us to. To sanctify ourselves as He has sanctified us. I want to end with a scripture from 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. And this is sort of an all-encompassing scripture. It talks about what God wants for our lives in this world with all the things that we struggle with, how we are to be sanctified. Mike's going to read that for us.
Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And in this manner, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit.
I guess it's verse, go to 2 then, and 3. There it is. It is God's will that we be sanctified, that we be set apart in our lives, every aspect of our lives set apart to Him. And Jesus prays for this. Jesus is more concerned about this than most other issues, because He knows if we will surrender our life to the Lord, if we will lay it down, then our attitude and our heart will be right in every other issue and every other matter that He brings to us. We will be yielded. We will be broken. He will mold us and transform us as we lay our lives down. Is Christ calling you to a deeper surrender? Is He speaking to you this morning about a particular area in your life? Maybe about an attitude where you are resisting Him? Is He putting His finger on something that He's been dealing with you about and you have been resisting Him? I'm going to ask Jeff if he would come and just play the guitar. Play that song that we sang at the last, that Jesus holds us close, holds us still. He never does this in anger. Excuse me. He never does this in frustration. He never does this strong-arming us or forcing us to do what we will not submit ourselves to. But He does call us and He does draw us. And we want to be able to say to Jesus, Lord, I want You more than anything. I want Your life to be manifest in me. I want Your power by Your Holy Spirit to be manifest in me. But folks, there's only one way. And that is a death to myself, a death to my own will, a death to my own life. And you see, I haven't brought up any specific issues because it's not about issues. It's not about the things that we often get off on and debate with each other about. It's not that. It's about my heart. And God's calling us and asking, do I have your heart? Is your heart surrendered to me so that I can mold you and transform you the way I want to, so that I can break those things that you yourselves can't break in your own life? Are you surrendered in your heart to the Lord? Is he putting his finger on your life today? Is he speaking to you? Is there something that he's calling you to lay down before him? Offer yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is what Jesus prayed for. This is what Jesus calls us to. I'm going to pray, and once again, I just feel led. I'm going to open the altar, and I'm going to invite any of you that you know God is speaking to you, and you know He's calling you to a deeper surrender. He's put His finger on something, and He's saying, come and lay it down, surrender. Let me have all of your life. I'm going to invite you to come and join me here in the front. Step into a commitment. Step out and make a commitment to the Lord. Let's all stand. And Jeff, if you lead us in that song, and if you sense God calling you, you come. You come and join me here.
Song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms, Lord. In your arms of love. In your
we're going to dismiss anyone that wants to continue to have ministry. If you need prayer for any reason, if you know you should have come forward and you haven't yet, there's still room at the altar, and there's still time and opportunity to meet with the Lord. Jesus prayed for us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we belong to Him? Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much. You've called us to be your own, set apart for you. Thank you, Lord, that you take us brokenhearted, stiff-necked, stubborn people. As we surrender and yield to you, Lord, you take us and you mold us. Lord, we rededicate ourselves to you, each one of us, Lord. We rededicate this church to you. We rededicate our ministry, every aspect of it, Lord. It is all yours. It is not ours. We are yours. You've bought us with a price. Bless your people. Thank you for the sweetness of your Spirit, for touching our hearts today. Bless your people as they go. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. Take time to fellowship if you do it in the lobby so that those receiving ministry can continue. Thank you. God bless you.